there was, trying to remember, a website account, is that right? And then in the future, there's going to be more, right? You're going to do a GitHub, you're going to do a WordPress. I mean, you want to write a button, right, that just, boom, I guess you enter your name and kind of the password you wanted or something like that, and it would just go in there and populate every account for you, right? Perfect. Any one more person for what they would write a program? Ashley, you want to talk? Or it seemed like you wanted to talk, so I...
Oh, yeah. I know this is less like automating, but more like recently I downloaded something on the script to like make Windows always on top of everything, so like you can like have more like a video open. I don't know if that's kind of goes with the automation.
Totally.
Yeah.
So what's the program there for, you think? What's the program logic there? So you open up the program, and then whatever, which, can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, so yeah. Like, if when you run this script and you select a window, it's always on top. So if you, like, move to get another window, it will bring that window to the front. It'll always keep the one window on top. So, like, let's say you're watching a tutorial, and it's, like, a Photoshop tutorial or something. You can have, like, the video in the right-hand corner while you're doing Photoshop stuff. And when it interacts with the Photoshop window, it will bring the video window to the back.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So there, actually, the parameter of your program is the window that you're choosing. It's kind of like when you guys are doing like the screen recording on that, right? You pick the window that you're now going to operate on, and then that window, whatever you do from their point on, it's going to be on always be the one on top, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's perfect. That's automation, because once you finish with that window, you want to stay do that other window, then you know, your program is ready. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So, this slide is to show you that code exists all over New York. So in Times Square, there's the code that's displaying the, you know, Motown, you know, graphic. There's code in the background that's updating the stock. You know, the code is everywhere. Okay. So, code is also, so in relation to saying that code is not just programming, Photoshop and Illustrator, that's also code, right? Because you're telling the computer what to do. It's a more advanced way of specifying things because you could be like drawing and things like that. But that's actually still just kind of coding, language. It's a way of speaking, right? It's a way of speaking the visual language. And as I claimed before, like actual human languages, I also think is code in some sense. And in this case, the recipient of your forms of communication are actually other people. So it's more complicated and it's also more satisfying because the other people can interpret your code, and that code might not be what you actually sent out. So that's the complicated part, but it also means that they can more easily retrieve it, right? So the machine, like, you tell them to do this, this, and that, if it's not exactly what you told it, it might not understand it, right? Because it's, sometimes it's very clear, you just wanted to specify a number, but it doesn't understand what format the number was, and it got confused. And it just throws up its hand, a machine, right? Just go, oh, I don't understand what a float is, you know? But in human language, the other person can just assume, like, oh, maybe this person meant that, you know, and go from there. So it's just a different form of communication, different levels of understanding from each side. And I think for our class, we basically have to unlearn. We have to go back to a level where everything is stupid and dumb, because machines are stupid and dumb, and get down to that level of thinking. So if you think about it, you're really just trying to think like a kid, like a child. It really is kind of that sort of thinking. So code is our instructions for computers. And so first you have to kind of translate these instructions for the computer. And again, you have to kind of go to the very lowest level because computers are just very simple. They're not going to misunderstand. I mean, they won't misunderstand you if you tell them that thing that they misunderstood. Yeah. So what computers actually do is they store the information and then they do operations on that information. So when you're doing the programming, because the computers do these two things separately, you also specify things separately. So it turns out the storing information, you're going to be doing it using variables, right? And then actually performing them, you're going to be using functions to operate on these variables. Yeah. Okay, so there are also some libraries and things that kind of expand the computer, right? So actually, what's the most... Can anybody give me some examples of kind of, you know, language libraries that's kind of extending the computer?
jQuery?
Excuse me? jQuery. Wow, that's advanced stuff. Explain jQuery for those of us that doesn't know. What's jQuery like?
It happens in the front end, right?
So web. We're talking about web right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like a library from JavaScript. Just simply find such like
for So basically JavaScript is the basic language, and then the jQuery gives you libraries on top of that language, which is written in JavaScript. That's kind of the key, right? The jQuery library is written basically in JavaScript, but it simplifies things for you so that you can just call a function or something that does a very complex thing for you, so you don't have to say the, you know, the entire, you know, you don't have to write that entire code over again.
So like actions that are usually written in multiple lines of code is only reduced to a single line of code.
Exactly.
So jQuery kind of like, oh, you said the thing
with that,
right?
Yeah. So
it's just so Java for like code and then there's JavaScript.
Yeah, those are two different things. Yeah. Sorry, it's very confusing for people, but Java and JavaScript are totally different.
So JavaScript like programming, JavaScript like web.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So some other examples, for example, Swift for making iPhone, iPad apps. It's built on top of these basic low-level functions in C that basically does all of your work for you, right? And then and one that I really like, Unity. It's not just for games, by the way. Unity, the way I learned it, for making interactive installations, for making cool experiences, for connecting your physical computing and sensors, totally cool. So it's not just for games, although it's very good for games as well. And it's actually also a library in some sense, because it's giving you this user interface for dealing with low-level code, right? Which is in C, C++. Yeah.
So does that mean the library is built based on the languages
like? Yeah. So it is written in the code that it started with, and in fact, even that code is not like even that code is kind of a library. Like C is kind of actually a library because it's on the lowest level with the computer, there's actually machine code, which just moves, yeah, I don't know how...
9-1-0-0-1.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to confuse you guys too much, but basically, the lowest level that machine is doing is just moving registers. There's a register with, like, bytes, you know, 0, 1, you know, whatever, FFFF or something, right? It's because it's represented in a certain way, and it's just going there and moving those registers around. If you wanted to just like set that variable to some other variable, it's actually kind of an involved process because they have to like, you know, read this, put that in the register, put the other thing over here, and then, yeah.
So what's the difference between
that language and its library? That's a great point. There's no, it's arbitrary, right? Yeah. I totally agree with you. Like it's kind of like you know, kids speak gibberish, but we understand them. You're kind of like, mama, mama, right? It's not, but we don't think of it as language sometimes because we think, oh, that's just like a word, like a primitive thing. And then they didn't have to grammar. So that's why, you know, kids who haven't acquired language yet, we think, oh, they can't speak yet. But actually, they're already speaking. You just don't understand them. Right? So yeah, you're totally right. There's no, it's an arbitrary kind of definition. Like, libraries are built on top of established things. I guess in this case, they're talking about, like say Java, and then you build a library on top of Java that uses those functions, and it gets more and more complicated. What's a library of Java that you guys would be using? Anybody?
So what do you mean a library of Java?
What's a library of Java that we're going to be using, Bootcamp will be using?
So processing?
Exactly. Okay. Processing is not a language, it's just a library. But it's built in such a way that all the functions are interpreted for you. So it's kind of like the jQuery with JavaScript, or even JavaScript itself. It's built in such a way to interpret your commands nicely so that the syntax is taken care of you. You don't have to deal with a lot of even lower level stuff. So Java actually is already an abstraction. It's already kind of a nice syntax compared to like... Yeah, like compared to C++, because in C++ you have to do your own. For those of you who are interested, like for the rest of you, just go to sleep for about 10 seconds. But those C++, you actually have to go in there. Like for every array or variable you take out, you actually have to clean up your garbage. So it's kind of exactly Java. There's functions that are already taking care of some low-level stuff for you that C doesn't do, that you have to do yourself, basically. Yeah. And then processing is just a higher level of Java. You know, it's a library built on top of Java that simplifies things for you, basically. And Arduino does this too, by the way. If you guys end up doing some PCOM, Arduino is just built on top of C. So that's the same way. When you guys download Arduino and try it, you realize it looks kind of like processing. It has a draw, it has a setup, you know. Loop. You know, it has some looping thing and some setup thing. So it's...
But is Arduino based on C,
and
processing based on
Java, exactly.
So like, it's open frameworks also a library?
Exactly. Perfect. All right, I'll see you guys later. You guys are done. I'll just go home. Amazing. So I realize everybody's contributing. I'm really happy. If there's anything in there that was kind of like, whoa, we're talking way above, just like tell me, like seriously, like don't be afraid of just, you know, I think some of us are talking kind of fast too. So just stop us, okay? Like really, like don't be shy. Like, we want to discuss every detail, so stop us anytime. Stop me. Okay, open frameworks, as Elena was just bringing up, mostly used for kind of installations, interactive works. It's a library. Processing, that's the library we'll be using. It's based on the screen, you know, so it's, the whole idea of this is that you're doing everything on the screen, right? So in 2D. So in some sense, it's Unity is kind of in 3D, although there's a way of doing 2D as well. But processing the model starts with a 2D canvas. So that's where it starts. Okay. So that's just the other one over there is just a way of connecting to your components. So you can use processing to connect to your phone and things like that. Yeah. Okay, so first, what are variables? So I am told that you guys have homework that allow you to learn already know what all these things are. So my job is actually to ask you, can somebody define a variable for me? Any reasonable start?
That's
easy.
Anything, like anything you want to define, I guess. Variable would be maybe a
width
and a height, like a number for
a
width and a height, or a color
RGB. Cool. I love the way that you just give it as an example, because that's the right way to think about it. It's not the process. It's the actual, you know, individual things that can change, right? So when you say, when you define a variable, say like you were saying about width, right? You can change that width to a different number, and it changes. That's why it's variable. It can change, you know. So, but yeah, but just like Phoebe said, right? It's something that is used to define something, right? But that something can just vary over time. Yeah, it's kind of the numbers that you're keeping track of. Yeah. So these are the types of variables that are here. So first of all, I have to make groups now. This is actually like what I'm here for, because like this is like my moment of like power, you know, I'll be like, oh, you're gonna be with you or something. Okay, so we're gonna make two or three groups, and then the reason for this exercise is to make sure you guys remember what you learned from the homework. So each group, we're gonna give one of these guys each group, and you're gonna define it on the blackboard over there. Make sure that we have enough. Yes, we have enough. Yes, very well prepared. Markers. Okay, so the way I'm going to do groups is I'm going to do the following. All right, so Dan, you're going to be with John. I'm just going to, just in case you guys are sitting in the same place as me, like, over time. Brandy, Dion. Okay, so this is my, like, hold on, let me get this right. Phoebe with Ashley, okay. And then JC with Elena, and then Alisa,
yes.
Right? Alisa with Marvin.
Nice work.
Is that everybody?
Yeah.
We have one more person.
And Zina.
What is it?
Zina,
right? Zina. Okay. Zina, you're going to be with how many groups we have? We have five. So you're going to be with Bonnie. So we have three. And everybody else is two. Okay, so what color? You get the first pick. Doesn't matter, anybody. Okay, yeah. So float, John's group, Char. We're getting into the harder part of the, not really, it's different. Char, string, Ashley, Stevie, Boolean, Brandy. Okay, cool. So,
yeah.
Like that.
It was great to see everybody's discussion and everything. That was like the most important thing. Careful. So everybody passed the homework. You know, you guys clearly did the homework somehow. No, just kidding. You guys did the homework. So I'll just kind of fill in some extra pieces of information, but you guys all got it back there. Those are all really good definitions. I was going to go around and let you guys explain it, but I think in interest of time, we'll just kind of keep going. So integer is just, you know, like you guys were saying back there in the center purple. Their individual numbers are like natural numbers, basically, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then down to negative 1, negative 2, etc. Those are all integers. A float, just like John, right? John and Yue was was speaking about, it's more precision in that number. It's not just an integer, but actual with decimal places, right? And in fact, in the computer, they are actually limited decimal places. So there's only so much decimals you can go up to, right? And but also not just like 9.31, but like 9.0 is also a float. So a float can take on integer-ish values, right? So it has more precision, but it actually has that. But a lot of times integers are easier to work with because you just count up and down. So that's why you use integer over floats. Strings, just like Ashley and Fihi were talking about, great definition. String, you know, basically sequence of letters. So you have.
So it could be like a number of integers inside a string, and that could still be a string.
Oh, but that definition that you wrote up there is still correct because the numbers in that you see here. Yeah, that number that you see there, I should be pointing at 2016, I don't know if I am or not.
Yeah.
But that number is actually our characters. They're not the integer numbers.
Okay.
So in the string, so first of all, strings are just a sequence of characters, actually, right?
So they'll come out exactly how you put them in, right? The same thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so like Zeno was saying, it's exactly how you sequence them. So first, let's go to the character. So character is basically, this is great. The character definition is amazing. It has the fact that it's a variable. It has the fact that you, what is a character and what is not. So apple is not a character because it's a string, right? I love that. You guys get A+. Everybody else get A's. So character in the computer, and just to kind of give you guys some more insight, I did kind of 2 years of computer science, but is that characters actually in the representation in the computer are actually just bytes, just like integers. So they're kind of represented the same way. But in this case, characters are not integers in the way that integers are doing the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, counting, right? So characters are like A, B, C, D, E, etc., comma, period, whatever. That type of representation. So characters are actually in the representation in the computer are just like integers in the sense that they're just pointers. They're just pointing to a certain part of your machine registry, basically. And then the strings are just it's actually just an array of characters. So we'll tell you what arrays mean in the future, but for now you can just think of it as a sequence. So for example, the apple, the A, and then character A, character P, character P, character L, character E, that's a string. So a string is just a sequence of characters. And then finally, but not least, Boolean. Also a really good, that's also A+, because not only does it give you, is it, you guys, yeah, so not only do you have the idea that, like, we did Java, that's great, first of all, and then you also have what it's actually doing. I love this stuff. I need to take a picture of it.
This is like, I'm catching you. You guys are all destroying all the other classes.
Great question.
Yeah, so the integer that you're thinking about in your head, it can be anything. It could be a character because you're thinking like, my birthday is on the 25th or something, right? So that's 2, 2, 2, 5. That's an integer, but it So it could be a string, right? The way you keep track in your mind doesn't make that distinction. But in the computer, the integer 25, that is one integer, right? So that's an integer that you declare in your program, and then you set it to be 25, right? But the string 25 is not the same representation of the integer 25. The string representation is a character of 2 followed by a character of 5. So that's a great nuanced question. And in the computer, they're not represented the same way. So actually, this is really important because, I'm over-exaggerating. It's pretty important. Because when you now go and do your coding in C or C++ as opposed to Java or processing, there will be situations where you're going to see a char, whatever. And then you're going to see people doing like, you know, people will do this a lot. So if you were doing C++, people will do something like, you know, char, you know, BP as my birthday, right? Equals 25, right? And then later on in the code, when they need it to use this character, they can do this. Int, BP, you know, whatever, right? So this would be some argument to some function. So some function is taking this as an argument. Why is that? Because this guy was expecting an integer, and he had a character, and he had to change the type. You know, I hope this is a little advanced.
Can you put 2 letters in the character? That's fine. Like, is 25, can you have 25 equal to character B because 25 corresponds to a character? Or?
Sorry. This is a this is a character, right? But if you wanted to interpret it in a different way, then you kind of have to cast it, and vice versa, right? If it's an int, you can go back to the string or something like that. You won't necessarily see this in processing, although there will be when you guys are doing your text adventure. Processing also does something like that. It just, instead of doing this, it'll just call a function. It'll be like something too string or something like that, or something too int. I can't remember what the function is, but maybe something like that. So in other words, these primitive elements are actually kind of interchangeable in some way, but in the computer representation, they are actually different. So an integer is actually fundamentally different from a float. Float has more, it's a bigger size of your register, basically. And then the Boolean is just 0 or 1.
And for that, I
want
the output as 1 character instead of 1.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that this is B or whatever, yeah. It doesn't matter how that's present. Yeah, great. This is great. I'm going to go this way.
One last question. So character will have like a single like bookmark
So integer is the actual number. It's kind of tricky. Integer is the actual 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. The character is just like a way of kind of representing a character, and that character could include numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, and a string is just like sequence of that.
So character could be something that you refer back to later to like to symbolize something. Refer back to
it later in the code? Well, I mean, very simple, right? So, for example, you want to print something to the command line, hello or something, right? Mm-hmm. So, what you're doing is you're printing H, and then you're printing E, and then you're printing L, et cetera, et cetera, a sequence of characters.
Okay.
Right. So, but when you're printing a number, it's just printing the actual number. So, it looks like it's the same thing,
But I was just in the back and somebody converted some things for me. You don't really have to worry about it like that much. Like, for example, when you're doing a print line or something, it'll be like, you know, say you have an int and you print that, it'll show up kind of looking like a character because it's, you know, I kind of understand that, but that's what Java is, right? It just takes care of those subtleties for you. If not, like C, a lot of times you have to convert that yourself. It's a lower level language, so it doesn't understand, you know, higher level functions. Any other questions? This is kind of a slightly tricky issue.
You wouldn't think so, but it is. Any questions?
So pretty much for like characters, I can just use the following, like do X and Y coordinates on some type of engineering problem. Like I can just use Y and put the character variable.
Right, you want to use integers.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to use integers. So basically, it's just used for different purposes most of the time. That's how you can think of it. Integers are numbers. So you want to put them someplace on some screen, you want to use integers because that's a natural representation. They're numbers that you want to use. But if you want to print out how many calories I gained today, that's a different idea, right? That's like, you know, that's kind of a character. You're kind of printing out. But I mean, in Java, you can still just print the integer. Like, it'll kind of take care of that for you. But it's kind of, in some sense, converted to a string in this way for you. Yeah.
It's like computer precision
at the
numbers, or
X12 numbers. Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yeah, because it's doing a lot of the back-end stuff for you. Yeah. And you just represent it the way that you think this should be represented. Like, if you want to say something or display text, that's going to be a string or characters, right? Because it's just, that's the natural thing. It will get tricky later on in your career because a lot of the communication sometimes takes place using characters, like for Arduinos and stuff like that. But for right now, you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. Cool. So this is just a very simple example of what the kind of stuff we just talked about. If you're using variables, so print line is just something that just prints it to the screen, to the output. So you have an int. So this is, I guess, based on you guys' homework. So you have an int. You set that int integer into some number, and then you print it out. And then in the print line, it's basically giving you the sort of string representation of that number, basically, right? But you don't have to really know that. You just have to say, okay, this is the number I'm printing out. Okay. And then similarly, if you add 1 to that number and you print it out, it's going to give you 11. Same thing with string. You write it as a string. So here, unlike C or C++, it's actually very easy. You just kind of give it the actual string. Super simple. And then when you print, it just automatically takes care of that stuff for you. Okay. So the next level of kind of complication are called functions, right? So functions are actually, so what we talked about so far is the data. Remember that slide about computers having a storage and something to manipulate that storage, basically? So the manipulation part are the functions, right? So here's a very kind of simple function to put on shoes. I gave you an example of closing the door earlier. So in this case, here, I'm going to demonstrate here. Sorry, guys. I have a shoe here. All right. So first, I'm going to go pick up the shoe, right? So I'm going to pick up the shoe. I'm going to lift my foot. Okay. And then I'm going to lower. Hold on. I got to pick up the shoe right here. Lower my foot into the shoe. Most of you can't even see this. Okay. Lower my foot into the shoe. So I actually don't have shoelaces, but I'm going to use the Velcro to tie my shoe and then release, you know. So that's a function because it's a sequence of steps, so now I can go on to my next function. Yeah, I think, is this pretty clear? It's probably a little bit too simple for you guys, right? Okay. So, and something we talked about already, but you notice that it's decomposing each part into very simple faces. So For example, in recipes, you do the same thing, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. How do you make it? So you have a function that's called make sandwich, right? And then you go and you first you spread peanut butter on one slice, and then you... This is one way of making peanut butter sandwiches. You spread jelly on the other side, you put the pieces together, and then you can eat it. So I guess the sort of important thing is that you have some variables, right? So you have some slices of bread. You're using that particular slice, so that's why it's a variable, right? So it could vary. Like, you don't have to use that slice of bread. You could use that other slice of bread. So that's why it's a variable, right? You don't have to use peanut butter. You could use jelly. Sorry. You can use jam, you know. So that's why it's kind of a variable. And then the function is actually to spread the peanut butter on the bread and then spread the jelly on the bread, right? So you're going to give them two different things to give to the spread on the bread, and then afterwards you're going to put the bread together.
So why is the variable not a function?
Excuse me? The boolean?
Why is the variable not a function? Good, great.
Yeah, you bring some really fantastic questions like that, just like hit at the foundations of mathematics. You know, that's a great question. So Boolean is, by its very nature, only true or false, right? So 0 or 1, true or false. But it's not a function in the way that you're calling it, right? Because you're not calling it. So the function for the Boolean would be like, is true, right? So...
So there's some function that's called, you know, is true. And what does it take? It takes a Boolean. You get it? So the Boolean is the primitive or the variable that you give to a function which asks you whether something is true or not.
So in the more primitive language in Java, the Boolean is also split up into, let's say, two functions, which is one is true.
No. Yeah, it's, in this case, it's not necessarily having to do with, maybe I confuse you too much about the lower level languages, but in this case, it really is just a difference between a variable and a function. So the variable are the data that you're working with. So in for the Boolean, so that's a great example. That's a great, you know, kind of thing, right? So I'm going to declare Boolean, right? And I'm going to call is raining, okay? So actually, just to keep it simple, I'm going to keep it lower case, so you guys can see it's a variable, okay? I don't have to do that. Right. So I have a Boolean is raining, right? And then because it's not raining right now, I'm going to say that is underscore raining. Hope you guys can see how that works. Is equal to false, right? So it's clearly a variable, right? There's no ambiguity about whether this should be a function or not, right? Because it's just raining or not raining. Just like it's a number, how many hot dogs do you have? The function is a different thing. So further on in the code, but you could have some things that says, you know, it is raining, bring them wrong, right? So maybe that function is like, you know, don't worry about this test for now, but maybe it'll be something like bring from umbrella, okay? And then it's gonna take a Boolean. You see what's going on here? The Boolean is getting if it's raining. If it's raining, this is going to return true. Right? And if it's false, it's going to return false, basically. I don't want to write out the code yet, but basically. So it looks like this is a Boolean, right? But it's actually a function. I totally sympathize with the confusion. Like it's, because it looks like this is doing the same thing. Oh, should I put an umbrella on? It does sound like a Boolean, right? Oh, should I put an umbrella on? Right? It could be a Boolean if you write, bring umbrella as a Boolean, then it becomes a variable. But in this case, I can write it so that it's also a function. So to be honest, you don't necessarily usually write functions like this, right? But sometimes you do. Sometimes you actually do. But a lot of times you're doing other things, in your bring umbrella, for example, if this is true, you can do other things, right? You can put on any code and then blah 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 and then keep going. So
why the hell
would
you just put
false here?
Yes, you
do that.
Like, take this out, keep this simple
value, and just be like, you know. Okay, so you can take this one out. Okay? But you can't take this one out because you have to declare this variable. These are great questions, by the way. You could do this, though. You could do it either way. You can do it either way. You told me right.
No, but what is the normal way? I don't know if it's something that's novel.
This goes back to the slide diagram thing where you say just experiment with different concepts. Don't be afraid to just, try it and see if it fails, whatever. In this case, it's personal preference.
Okay.
Now, in the code, there are times that you want to do one way or the other. In code, there could be. Like, for example, this Boolean, you don't know what is true or false yet. In the code, somebody specifies whether it's written or not. So, for example, you have a God function, right? God tells you, you give him a Boolean, okay? You give him, I'm just going to have a Boolean now. And God tells you, is God happy, whatever, then whatever this name of the Boolean is, which is say IS, is equal to the other true or false. You know what it is,
right?
Sure, okay. If God is happy, he's right. But you see, I'm saying something like that, you don't necessarily want to write this here if you don't know what God's going to think.
So does that mean that this writing chart is the variable and then false and true is the function that defines the variable?
False and true are primitive data types. Yeah, it's like an integer. It's like an integer. It looks like a character or a string, but it's actually just in the actual representation. It's trying to write
one and zero.
Yeah, one and zero. Yeah, it's actually just simply an integer. So the functions are the higher level thing. It's not the false true stuff. It's the stuff that uses these variables. These are great questions. Anybody else with great questions?
Just a small, sorry, function, void, green, and red. So basically it's void function.
Sorry, it's so good. It's actually just returning a Boolean. So when you're returning something, we're not there yet. I'm just going to, anybody else? Great catch. So I guess the main thing is to understand what a variable is, which is a data type, basically. It's a very primitive thing that you can now use. And a function, which actually takes those things as parameters and puts them into the system. Cool.
All right, so getting back to the peanut butter and sandwich, so that's, you know, basically what we were talking about. So once you have this kind of pseudo code down, it's very easy to convert it to the actual code. And so I think one of the things that we're emphasizing in this class is that you really want to write everything out in human language and then kind of convert that to the actual processing language that machines can understand. Right? So it's a two-part process. First, you spread the peanut butter on one slice. You spread the jelly on another slice, so in this case, two different variables, and then you put them together. And then when you actually write the code, this is what it does, right? It does the spread on one slice. So you notice that the slices, in this case, they're actually writing it in such that both the slice and the topping are actually kind of parameters into the function. So the function is going to do something to put this guy onto that guy. Right? It doesn't necessarily have to be arranged that way, but that's the way it's arranged in this particular setup. And if you notice that actually it's the same function, it's just picking different things to put them on. Right? That's the other kind of tricky thing. So the variable is going to kind of change, refer to different things, but the function is a function that does it no matter what variable you give them. Right? So I guess, you know, like in the God example, you could give them the Boolean of is raining today versus is raining tomorrow or is raining the day after tomorrow. Those are all different variables, but the God function gives you the same thing, which is like raining, 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 whatever, or however they decide, or some formula for whether it rains or not. Right, so the function is the same function in this case. Okay, so now we have a fun exercise. We're going to, the partner that you had, you're going to, for now, just keep it because we're kind of running a little bit behind. So with that same partner, get together, and we're going to write out some instructions for making any, actually, I'm opening up to anything. You can make food items, you can make Pokemon stuffed animals, you can make Lego fire trucks, you know, whatever you want. You can make anything you want. Maybe make your one of the partner's favorite things. Maybe we can do that. Make a favorite thing that one of you likes. And then instead of just a swap, or actually, maybe we could do swapping instruction. Okay, let's do that. Let's write the thing first. Maybe we'll just share it to class because we're kind of a little bit behind. But let's just write the instruction for making something. And I guess the key thing is identify variables and functions. In your mind, identify these are the variables, these are the functions. Yeah, these are the variables.
Yeah.
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 Oh, you guys are missing one.
Oh, no.
so I do a week for the blender, ice cream, bag into the blender. Third one is turn it on the blender. Fourth one, you have to update turn off the blender. Go back to five, check the texture on this, it'll change. If school proceeds, step six. If there is help, else step 3-5. And then number six, formula change. And lastly, seven, insert straws and cups.
Okay, so guys, it's a great function. You guys actually roll out the function, which is great. This is like extra credit. This is really great, right? You notice this, the name of this function is making milkshake, right? But actually, they went and told you how exactly it's done, so it's kind of like,
oh, yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. You can do that, you know. So I love the fact that you can do, you know, if it's smooth, you know, go to here, if not, go back to here and do this thing. That's exactly what happens in the middle of a function. Anybody have other comments about this?
But you would have to put a break, right? Or sometimes, so I think it would
be
sure.
Is it VR?
Huh?
Like, what is it? Like, you put something after this and helps it. And pump all top of the plane, and then spread ketchup on two, on the other side of the plane.
No, on the side.
But no, we have cheese on the
side.
And then
you put cheese on what?
Yeah.
Separate functions for everything, but you could just have a function that's like puts. So it just puts the first thing into the second thing, or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Or puts together or something.
Yeah.
Then you did what you were just saying, you overload that function. So the function can work for any variable that you put
in. Like, for example, how, let's say we can see grilling is contained, turning the soap on, putting it on the pan, turning the soap off, like, grilling.
So after that, you can know these each of them.
Yeah, because I also wanted to ask if it also applies to burger. Because burger doesn't exist when we first start the end of the game.
Yeah.
That you can become your burger.
Yeah.
And how do you become all burger? Does that also apply to burger too? Because it's still there. It's there. It's a variable.
Okay, so that you need object oriented programming, which I mean, it's like towards like next year. But in that case, the burger is made up of these things, right? So then you need to construct a burger. So in other words, at the beginning of or at the end of this, you do a burger equals new burger, and then into that argument you put your finished stuff, and then it makes the burger, and then it does whatever you want to do with
it. But it has to be
Yeah, it has to be declared as an object.
Well,
you need all the, however you want to define it right now, but it's just pseudocode. So,
yeah.
But I think one thing that comes through is in your pseudocode, the closer it is kind of to be a processing or whatever language sketch, the easier it is to kind of actually ultimately convert it. So, that's why I was like, you have to kind of write down the variable and the function, because then it'll give yourself, which is the translator, a better idea of how to actually write it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we have John, you want to explain? Clearly, you're the right person to explain. you can do it too. You want to do it? You want to try to do this one?
Okay, so first of all, we have to take a foundation and then apply space and put down. What is the time? I don't know.
Just put on the face.
Mascara.
Nice.
Sorry, I'm putting it on the spot. So that means these are the variables provide the pickup. And the pickup does each of these things. And in fact, these are kind of its own function, put down in some sense. It's kind of on the edge here, but they're kind of like, okay, now I'm going to push it down, put it down, put it down. And then apply is kind of like a function. And then you give them the variables of blush and your own cheeks. And eyeliner and your eyelids, etc., etc. I love the fact that you have this if statement. That's very cool. You can even do like if something go bad, you can apply more. You know, like you do all kinds of interesting things like they were doing over there and stuff. But yeah, great. Now you know how to. So from what you found so far, right? I get up in the morning, I have a template for putting on, okay, some of us have a template for putting on makeup, then I can grill a burger and an egg at the same time, make a smoothie and make a milkshake, I'm ready to go, like, oh yeah, it's great. Yep, morning routine. You guys want to talk to the morning routine? It's good. Oh, by the way, is this class is 6?
Yeah.
Or is it 6? 6:30? Oh, okay. 6:30? Okay, so if it's 6:30, we can have a... I want to give... we're a little bit behind. So, do you mind doing a 8-minute break? 7 minutes and 30 seconds break. Do you need a break? Or is everybody... Who... does not want a break. Nobody does not want a break, so we're gonna break. So let's say 8 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes, okay? Because we're a little bit, just a little bit behind, but we have until 6:30, then I think we're okay. Break! Break!
I have every time.